going. And Lord, we just thank you again for another night with the group here, the regulars. And Father, we thank you that tonight's going to be special. Lord, we just ask and pray that you get Kevin on tonight. Let him see what we do. Let him hear the testimonies. And Father, I thank you that he's not going to have any trouble getting them. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, I just ask that tonight you anoint every one of us to speak the words that you've given each one of us on the parables, on the sower, the parable of the sower. And Lord, I just praise you for that. Lord, let tonight be special like it was last night. We had a special time last night, Lord, and I just thank you so much for it. I thank you for your holy presence, Lord, and I thank you for your holy words. And I just praise you, Father, for all you did. I thank you for everything that you're working in each one of us here and on the outreach and everybody there, Lord, that's listening. That don't get to join us, but they get to listen to us. And I ask, Lord, that you bless everybody in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay. We had a real good time last night at our prayer meeting on Monday night. Just an awesome time. Not much to say other than God answered our prayers and people were healed, people were delivered. People were set free. And words were spoken by the Lord. Words like the heavens are open to our prayers and that all of our prayers will be answered if we just believe. So that's the message. Of course, we all know that. And we've all been working with that kind of type of faith anyway. But it's just reassuring and encouraging when the Lord shows us those things, tells us those things himself through his, whoever it is that gives those out, you know. And I just thank God for what he's doing in all of us. And I believe he's, a lot of these words that we get is for this outreach as well. And anyway, we had a good time. Go ahead, Leah.
I was just going to say that he also said the hindrance that was there before is gone. So that's why he was hearing our prayers, because there was no longer any hindrance.
Amen. Open heaven. Open heaven. Thank you, Lord. Okay. You know, when you get an open heaven, you want to keep it, don't you? And the way to keep that is to walk that holy life and not get into any kind of sin at all. So once you get it open, keep it open. Because I saw a deal somebody had posted on the blog about this ex-warlock, I guess, ex-Satanist. And he said that once a child of God sinned after he had an open heaven, he has to go back to the beginning and have it opened again, which takes a few steps, according to him. There's a lot that I believe. There's a lot that I don't believe when I saw that. But anyway, we just do it by faith, don't we? We know when we repent of our sins, we're cleansed, aren't we? The blood of Jesus cleanses us. And then we're back on the right road again. We can pray and God will listen. That's what I believe. I believe we're immediately back into the open heaven. It's when people come together that it's real strong. And they all believe the same way. And they all are in one accord that the power of God is so prevalent. And I just praise God that I believe we have that here too. In a lot of cases. I do want to pray for a young man while I got here. His name was Kevin. He called me this afternoon. He had talked with my grandson, Blake, to get my telephone number. And what had happened was that Austin had witnessed to him, even while he was on drugs, he'd witnessed to him. He said, you know, Mr. Hay, he said, the only person out there that cared for me was Austin. Said he would always tell me there's a way out, and the way out was Jesus. And he said, you call my papa, and he'll show you. He'll tell you what the way is. And he did. He called me this afternoon. It's not like he had never been a Christian before. He said he'd been on the wagon for about 3 years and had fallen back into it. And his family are Pentecostal people. They go to a Pentecostal full gospel church. And so he knew about the power and the Holy Spirit. He's filled with the Holy Spirit even. But he wanted to know, you know, because Austin had talked to him and administered to him. And he wanted to know if he could come out, you know. And I said, well, we'll have to ask the Lord about that. But in the meantime, let's do a few things, you know. And we prayed with him and prayed with him. And I'm sending him a Sovereign God book and a couple other things. And we're just going to see where that goes. So, Lord, I just lift up Kevin to you. Lord, I thank you that you have broke him. You've broken him, Lord. He's lost his wife. He's lost his child. He's lost his parents. He's lost everybody that meant anything to him because of this terrible addiction to drugs in the past, Lord. And I thank you that he is free now. When we prayed this afternoon, Lord, I thank you that you set that boy free once again. And I thank you, Lord, that you've got his eyes and his heart running after you now, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to lift him up and encourage him and give him dreams and visions and fulfill the things that I spoke to him this afternoon, Lord. And I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that we're going to see that young man soon. And he's going to be on fire for you, Lord. And I praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Okay, that's all I got. Anybody else got a prayer they'd like to pray? Yeah, Leah.
I got a little testimony.
Okay.
You know, we were talking about the fast will be over, and we're all calling out what we want to eat and all that stuff. And but the other night when I was praying, I had a vision, just a short vision. But I don't know if you guys all have brothers and sisters, you'll recognize what I'm about to say, with my eyes closed, it was like a face was coming up right upon me, and he had a spoon, and he had a bowl, and he was going like this. He had a dessert, and he was tempting me with it, so... So I just cracked up right there in my prayer, and I said, get out of here. But trying to hinder me, trying to stop my prayers, trying to stop everything. But I just shined it on and left it. Anyway.
Amen. Was it your brother, you say? Oh, okay.
It was just some demonic thing, you know, a human face, but they came up. But yeah. Don't you remember when your brother did that to you? You know, yeah. He had the dessert, and he was, here's the spoon. Yeah. He's taunting you, like, you know.
Yeah.
So.
I got my na-na-na-na, baby.
Exactly. That's what the demon was doing. I just told you about.
Crazy old demon. You ain't bothering me. It's a glass of tea. I want a glass of tea. So bad. No, well, we can get over it. We're gonna get over it. praise God. You know why? Because God's doing some wonderful things here because of it. He's going to do some wonderful things in y'all's life too, those of you who are fasting. Just veggies and water. Okay, anyone else? You know, when you're on a veggie fast, you can get real creative. You can. I've had some fine dishes, boy, I'm going to tell you, with potatoes. Anyway, anybody else need a prayer, need a praying, or testimony or praise report? Yeah, Pat.
Yeah, I just, I wanted to just touch base, basically. It's more of a confession than a testimony, I think. But, well, one thing, I probably lost about 10 pounds on this fast, so that's a good thing. But last week we prayed for my poison ivy and everything to leave. And the next day I woke up. I got out of bed, and this arm over here was bleeding, a big splotch on this arm, and then this arm started bleeding over here. So there was two. I was wrapping up with Band-Aids on this arm and Band-Aids on this arm. And so basically, my faith caved on that, and I went down to urgent care because I was itching and not going to making it to sleep at night. So I went down to urgent care and got those steroid tablets that they give you. You know, you take, you know, six a day the first day, and you know, whatever. There's a system there. Anyway, so I confess it to the Lord. And one thing I was initially going into condemnation about the thing, and I kept thinking of that statement that David makes. Maybe it's a saying that he heard from somebody else or whatever might be out there, but it's. I think the statement that hit me was faith that fizzles out in the end had a flaw in it at the beginning. And I'm not sure whether I held on, didn't hold on long enough in faith, or whether I didn't have faith. All I know is that it wasn't working and it was getting worse. So that may say something, but so anyway, that next morning or the next day after that, I was dealing with the condemnation of this thing, and I had to cast it down and claim Romans 8:1. That there is no condemnation in those in Christ, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, I believe that, and I believe that Jesus took away the curse, but there's something happening that I'm not quite sure what is causing the failure. So, I had a good friend of mine who was an engineer, and he was talking about this failure one time, and he said that if your vehicle is not running properly, you take it in so that they can diagnose what the problem is. You don't start blaming the designer, or you don't start justifying it and saying, well, it's not really happening or whatever. That vehicle was designed to function in a proper way. And so there's something in there that is not functioning properly, or the It's usually operator mistake in a vehicle. Most times, don't put oil in the engine and it's not going to run as it was designed to run. And I just feel that there's something here that I'm missing somewhere along the line. I know that there is a battle to maintain faith, to cast down imaginations, and there's that battle going on. But it seems like that there's a strength there inside that is that cuts the legs out from under my faith, and I'm not quite sure. I haven't put my finger on it yet. So, just by way of confession, I'm asking for prayer. I think the Lord is showing me some other things in my life, and so I'm doing some reading in some other areas as well. But so I just say this, that, you know, I, for whatever reason, there's something in there. I can go great guns for a while, and then the devil just, you know, blows a feather on me in some area of my life, and boom, I'm down. So I don't think it's meant to be that way. So I'm just asking for prayer for my brothers and sisters to identify what this is and to move through it and to start walking in the strength and faith of the Lord that He's provided me. So,
amen. Well, Lord, we just lift up Patrick to you. And we thank you, Lord, that you're going to reveal any hindrance to his faith that might be hidden in there, the nature of this unbelief. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, it is going to be quick too. And we thank you, Father, that you've given him great and bold faith after this trial that he's going through. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Anybody else? Yeah, Joe, go ahead. You want to pray for him?
Yeah. Well, actually, I would have to, I'm glad you said that, Pat, because I would have to second that, you know, myself. I want to confess, I guess I've got a testimony and, confession and, I'd like prayer for what, I mean, Pat was talking about. Yeah, like he said, you know, there's like, he's on fire for the Lord, and all of a sudden it just fizzles out. And then did what you mean, Pat, basically? Like, you know, you're up and then you're down, you're up and then you're down. It's just a constant back and forth, and you're never like consistently faithful, is what you're saying?
No, I'm saying in some things, yeah, I'm faithful. In yep. some things, I don't have any problems. Okay. But it seems like this, as a matter of fact, the Lord healed me once before from a poison ivy that was on my forehead. And that took like 6 weeks or 4 weeks or something like that. It took quite a while. And there was a whole testing process that went on there. And I was really just learning that David was teaching on that. I think in the power of the tongue, there's a lot of things that I was learning in that process. And it just seems like the next time after that, like a couple years later after that, I failed, and I went through it again. And I've cycled through this about 4 or 5 times and failed ever since then. So something is not working. Some things I function well in. I mean, I function in I understand a lot of wisdom that God has given me in certain areas, but obviously I'm not looking for more wisdom or more. I'm looking for the rest inside, the battle being over inside, wherever that is and whatever it is. So I don't know if that helps at all, but
yeah, I kind of see what you're saying, but yeah, okay, it might be something different I've been struggling with, but I'd like prayer for just kind of strength, you know, through this fast. Well, I must confess, I haven't been totally faithful in this fast. You know, I've fallen a couple times. I've gone back to kind of eating whatever I was, you know, like earlier for dinner. I think there was one other day and yesterday, but I want to confess. Well, I've never fasted actually for long periods of times. You know, the most I think I've ever fasted was about 3 days, you know, so I'm not, I mean, I've never had much experience as a believer in this area. So I think it's, you know, I actually gave in to the flesh a couple times, you know, I want to confess that. And, the Lord's been dealing, I think, a couple of days ago, he revealed a couple of things about my attitude, you know, concerning my work situation. I mean, it's, you know, I got a testimony. It has been getting better. Thank you, you know, you all for the prayers. I don't see that faction much anymore. You know, I think there's just, where I work at, there's a lot of hard feelings amongst one another. You know, there's a lot of people with just a lot of, wait a minute. Oh, no, I thought that was me. But, there's a lot of, yeah, I mean, there's just like a lot of deep-seated bitterness, unforgiveness amongst people, just a lot of wounds and a lot of, you know, there's, I mean, just a lot of hurt feelings, you know, where I work. But I sense that, you know, yeah, God's starting to work in that, you know, I don't sense that faction like it was there. There's really not, I don't see really any, you know, division, or I see a lot less division. So, you know, praise God, he's starting to work in that situation. But I think with me, you know, I mean, to ask for prayer is, I think the Lord was dealing with me, or I mean, he was, you know, revealing to me again, bringing it to the forefront, I guess you could say, because I've kind of noticed it before, but I mean, I want to say I probably just swept it under the carpet. I thought there was something else I should have been dealing with, but just this selfishness, you know, I guess in regards to this attitude of feeling entitled to something, you know, well, I'm entitled to the boss treating me well. I'm entitled to, you know, a safe work environment or, you know, whatever. And I guess it's, I sense it's probably rooted, you know, in some selfishness or, I mean, whatever that is, you know, and I mean, yeah, I mean, I'd like prayer for that. You know, I think it's, cause I've been listening to this, to the message, suffering, learning love, you know, or, I mean, trying to listen to the whole thing through. And he talks about just, you know, having a, I mean, David talked about, you know, the attitude of wanting to please the Lord, you know, and I mean, I can't say I've ever really genuinely had that attitude. You know, I've lacked in that area. And, you know, in regards to the suffering, he said, you know, if you have that attitude that you want to please the Lord, you will endure the suffering, you know, you will go through it, you know, and you won't waste the suffering as I know, Michael, you know, you said from time to time, you know, I mean, it's, and David really laid it out well, you know, I mean, when you waste suffering, you kind of go around the block, you know, or you go around the mountain several times, you know, until you get it right. And that's kind of where I've been, I guess, in the last so many years. It's just, I mean, I've wasted so many opportunities to, you know, deal with the flesh. But I think in the sense I'm sure, you know, a lot of it, you know, has been wasted because I don't have that attitude. Or, I mean, I have lacked that attitude of wanting to please the Lord, you know, no matter what the circumstances, you know, no matter what I'm suffering. So, I mean, I'd like prayer in that area, you know, especially that, you know, the God would give me that attitude that, you know, no, Lord, you know, I want to please you. You know, I don't want to please myself anymore. I don't want to give in to my own selfish desires, you know, to, you know, kind of have this attitude like, you know, I'm not going to treat this person right, or I'm not going to turn the other cheek because, you know, they did me wrong. And so, you know, I'm entitled to better behavior than what I've been receiving, but just say, no, Lord, you know, whatever pleases you, that's what I want. You know, and if I have to endure, then, you know, to please, you know, to be pleasing to you, then, you know, that's what I want to do. So that's the biggest thing. You know, I want that attitude where it says, God, whatever pleases you, that's what I want to do. You know, at whatever cost to me, you know, I want that attitude. So.
Okay. Well, let's pray. Yeah.
Amen.
Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we ask and we pray that you place it in Joe's heart to surrender everything to you, Lord. And Lord, I want to pray this prayer right here. for Joe and everybody else. My Lord, my God, my all in all, life of my life, spirit of my spirit, look in mercy upon me and fill me with your Holy Spirit, that my heart shall have no room for love of anything but you. I seek from you no other gift but yourself, who is the giver of life and all its blessings. And from you I ask not for the world or its treasures, nor yet for heaven even made request, but thee alone do I desire and long for. And where you are, there is heaven. The hunger and the thirst of this heart of mine can be satisfied only with you who has given it birth. O Creator mine, you have created my heart for yourself alone and not for another. Therefore, this my heart can find no rest or ease save in you who has both created it and set in it this very longing for rest.
Yes.
Take away then from my heart all that's opposed to you, Lord, and enter and abide and rule forever. Amen. Lord, I just surrender it all to you right now. I surrender my flesh to you. I surrender my desires to you. I surrender it all to you because, Lord, it's not worth missing you to have it. And I thank you, Father, for doing this for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord God. Well, all right.
Amen.
That's a done deal. All you have to do is believe now. That's all you have to do is just believe. And another thing you have to do is fight the flesh.
Yeah.
There's those if conditions.
Yeah.
But you ask the Lord to help you and he'll do it. Amen. All right, anybody else? Yeah, Judy, go ahead.
I've got a rash on my right leg and I've also on my feet. I don't know if it's the same thing, but I have those two rashes. So I'd like to have a prayer for those two rashes.
Okay. All right. In the name of Jesus right now, we come against those infirmities, those rashes on her legs and on her teeth. Did you say your teeth?
Feet.
I thought you said your teeth. I said, my goodness, she got something funky going on here. But anyway, Lord, we just thank you for taking care of the rash, all of it, in the name of Jesus. I command that rash to dry out and go right now in Jesus' name. She's not under the curse, Lord, and I command it to stop itching. I command that spirit of infirmity off of her right now and all its entities to go with it, all the symptoms that go with it in Jesus' name. Amen. You believe that, Judy?
Yep, I sure do.
All right, sister, you are healed.
And I also wanted to give a kind of a praise to the Lord because I wanted to tell everybody when I went to Indiana, I was in Indiana visiting my girls for like a week and a half. And I got off to a start that I didn't never had before. Had to wait in the, I flew, so I had to wait in the airport for 6 hours. They lost the pin to the door of the airplane. So we kind of needed that door shut. So we had to wait. We were supposed to go out at 11, and I think we went out at 5 o'clock. But when I had taken a lot of books, but this is what you can do at the airport when you're bored. I had taken a lot of Sovereign God and other books anyhow. So I just started kind of walking around, and I don't know, the Lord just led me to different people because the people that I talked to, I was able to give out books to. And this one lady really, really received it and started reading Sovereign God right away. And she was so excited. And I was thinking, Lord, did you just delay this plane because I had to give this book to this lady? I don't know. But I mean, I was enjoying myself because I was talking about the Lord and it was kind of neat. But I just wanted to tell you, that's what you can do at the airport if you're delayed. So
amen.
Thank you, Lord, for letting me be able to talk about you and give the books out. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Lord, we excuse me, Lord, we put a blessing on every book that's handed out that somebody will read it and they'll get the revelations of who you are, Lord, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord. Amen. Thank you.
All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Denny.
Yeah, I've got a rash on my left knee area, so I want to join with Judy, with you guys. I'm thanking you, God, okay, for leaving it and believing I have it in Jesus' name, and this rash is gone in Jesus' name. And
amen.
Thank you, Father. Amen.
And we thank you, Father, that it is gone in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. Glory be to your name. Thank you, Lord God. Amen. Okay, anyone else? I got a testimony too. My ears were healed last night. I it was getting worse. It was digressing. My deafness in my ears, and it's a generational curse. My father had it. Both my brothers have it. My sister has it, but I don't have it anymore. It was broken last night. It has fully manifested. It's getting, man, I tell you what, it's like I was telling you, I had to pull these earplugs out. I for some reason I can't adjust the volume. Maybe it's the Lord telling me, son, you don't need a volume on this thing. you can take them earplugs out. But anyway, God healed my ears last night and I praise God for it. Something else. Oh, yeah, I got bit by a spider today while I was out walking. I just said, well, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. Went on walking. Next thing, you know how they'll start out, they'll start itching, and then they'll get stupid and go to sores and all that, but it didn't do anything. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. So that was what happened to me. Anybody else? Yeah, Leon.
Well, I got my hearing healed last night, too. And I got my eyes healed, too. That's why I ain't got my glasses on. So
praise God.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Amen. Yeah, Missy got healed, too.
Yeah, good.
Yep. Okay, anyone else? Yeah, Tracy. Go ahead, Tracy. There you are.
Hey, Michael. Hey, everybody. How's it going?
Going good.
Awesome. Praise the Lord. I would like prayer for my left arm. I have no idea what's going on with it, but it hurts. So it's probably okay. Something to do with my job, but when I had a few days off, it didn't really stop. So.
All right. We command the pain in that left arm to go right now in the name of Jesus. I don't know what it is. It's a spirit of infirmity, and she's not under the curse. So I command it to go in the name of Jesus right now. And I praise you, Father, that her arm does not have that pain anymore in the name of Jesus. Lord, I just see your angel touching it right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah. Okay. Praise God. I believe it's done. How about it, sister?
Amen. I feel heat. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
That's good. I wanted to say something about tracks really quick, too. Jack Chick tracks. I love them. I don't know if you guys are familiar with them. Yeah?
Yeah, I know. I used to hand them out by the hunters.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm doing.
Is he still around?
Actually, he went home to be with the Lord. If it wasn't this year, it was last year. But it was... my concept of time's really bad. So,
okay.
Yeah, he went home to be with the Lord. And, you know, I'm always on the go. I'm either in a hurry going to work, coming home, picking my son up. You know how that is. So, you know, I use the bathroom in places, and I just set down one of those tracks. You know, or if somebody approaches me wanting something or, you know, anything like that, then I'll give them a track when I give them something. And, I'll set them down in restaurants, bookstores. I'll even sneak them sometimes if I see like a witchcraft book in a library or something like that, you know, for fun. The Lord and I have fun with them. So I just wanted to pray real quick that the Lord would bless those and anybody else, you know, leaving those tracks. So yeah, Father, yeah, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, thank you that we have these tools, Lord, that we can set down, Father, and people can find. Lord, I pray that you would anoint those tracks, that you'd send the people that need to have them to get them in Jesus' name. And Lord, we just love you. Thank you for that in Jesus' name. And anybody else that leaves tracks or will do so, that Father, that you would send the right people to use them and bless them for their diligence in you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we took our faith up a trace, and every one of those tracks is going to affect somebody's life in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, guys. God bless you.
You too. Go ahead, Nini.
Okay, it's me, Debbie.
Hi, me.
Hi. I had prayer last night for my eyes, and I really began tired of using glasses. That is, Lord, I just want that. So, Gloria's been ministering me about grace to believe, receiving His grace to believe, because everything we have is by His grace. And he that believes is grace. So, I'm just praying for the Lord to help me to really be receiving that grace to believe for that healing. Because I'm reading the book. I'm reading How Shall We Die without my glasses on. I can't see the print in the Bible yet, but I believe I'm healed. I do believe I'm healed. And we have the manifestation of it. So I just wanted to confess and share that and, you know, declare that in Jesus' name and receive His grace. And
amen. We thank you, Lord, that Debbie's eyes are completely healed in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you for giving her the endure and to the end to see this thing manifesting. And Lord, we thank you that it's already manifested 2,000 years ago. And all she has to do is look. Let me tell you what I did when I came across, when I did this many years ago. I heard David's testimonies about his glasses and what the Lord did for him. I just told the Lord, I said, Lord, you did it for David. I know you'd do it for me. You know, and I just took it with that attitude. And I said, Lord, I thank you that my eyes are healed. And I took my, now I couldn't, my glasses were bifocal. I couldn't see far distance and I couldn't see close up. Now I was hindered. And I just took them off and I never missed a beat. Man, I opened that Bible up and it was blurry. And I said, you clear up in the name of Jesus. I've already prayed the prayer of faith. You clear up now in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
And then after a while, it came on. It started coming into play where I could read it. And then when it might go for days without messing me up, and then all of a sudden, you know, I'd open it up, and it'd be, even now, same thing happened. It tried to get on me, and I said, nope, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. You clear up right now. And it'll clear up right away. And you just have to be persistent, and eventually that devil will leave you.
Yes.
And he'll come back occasionally. He'll try to mess with you. But all you got to do is just rebuke him. Nope, these eyes have been prayed for, and I ain't got nothing to worry about now. And that's what I did.
Yeah.
Amen. God. So, Debbie, you're healed in Jesus' name.
Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. We just praise you, Father, for all of us. You've healed our eyes. You've healed our ears. You've healed everything about us. In the name of Jesus, we declare and decree it, and thank you for it, Father.
We are not under the curse.
Amen. All right. Anybody else want prayer or want to comment about something? You know, it's amazing when you haven't been able to hear for a long time the small things, and then you start hearing them. It's kind of like a baby with a new piece of candy, you know. It really is. You're amazed at what's going on. Now, I'm not going to say that it's at 100% yet, but it's getting there quick. It's getting there quick. Father, I thank you for it. Amen. I'm telling you, when y'all talk, I had to pull these earplugs out a little bit because for some reason I can't do the volume. I think the Lord's just showing me, hey, look, Michael, what I've done. Da, 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 da. You know? I believe the Lord likes to have fun with us. All right. Anybody else? Thank you, Lord, for my healing and everybody else's. Anybody else has got a testimony, a praise report, or would like to pray? Well, okay. What was we going to? Oh, yeah. We was going to talk about, what is that, Matthew chapter 12? No. Sower and the sower parable. Yeah. Matthew 13. Oh, let's see here.
Michael, can I ask you a question?
Yes, sir.
Does David have that reoccurring experience that you do every once in a while? The devil come back and mm-hmm. blur his eyes or anything? He does yep. the same thing?
Yep.
I don't
know. Yep, that devil is not a respecter of persons. He'll come back to anybody.
So what? I don't remember hearing that testimony from David.
I don't remember which broadcast it is, but it's on one of the faith broadcasts. He talks about faith. Somebody else might remember which one it is. But
is it in like miscellaneous?
I don't know. It might be in one of the books. It might even be in one of the books.
Okay.
But he did basically the same thing that I did. You know, he prayed for his eyes. He said, "I'm tired of wearing these glasses," and he just was persistent in what he prayed. You know, I don't accept this. This got to go. I rebuke it, you know, in the name of Jesus. And he said it would clear up just like mine. I went through the same thing that David did. And you just have to be persistent and keep telling that thing to go away. And just look, never mind, devil. I'm going to sit here and look at this Bible, and I'm going to know that God's going to focus this thing in on me. And he does it. And now I don't even have to say anything. I said, okay, devil. I sit there and all of a sudden it'll focus up. Here it comes. And I don't have any trouble reading street signs or anything like that at all. So it's not a problem with me anymore. I don't have to buy them $200 pair of glasses anymore. Yeah, Leah.
No, I was going to say they're 400 now.
Okay. All right. They probably are. Yeah, it's been 2007 or 8 that I did it. Yeah. So it's been 8 years at least since I've had to wear glasses. I didn't throw them away or anything. I just put them in the top drawer of my dresser. I said, I ain't used them no more. Because God's healed my eyes. And that goes with just about anything you get prayed for. You have to endure in your faith to the end to see it done. That's the mainest thing. The main thing is the mainest thing. My preacher said one time, said that. The main thing is the main thing. I said, now what in the world is he talking about? The main thing is the mainest thing. And he was talking, of course, God dying on the cross, Jesus dying on the cross. Okay, the parable of the sower. All right, Joe, you want to read that for us? And let's start it out, or you want me to?
Sure. Let's see here. Chapter 13, 1 through, where are we at here? 1-8. All right. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold.
So. Okay.
Yep.
All right. You want to go? Somebody want to read the rest of it? Yeah. Yeah, I read it. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speak you unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given. For whosoever has, to him shall it be given, and he shall have abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he hath. Verse 13. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because seeing they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And unto them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing you shall hear, and shall in no wise understand. And seeing you shall see, and shall in no wise perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. Lest happily they should perceive with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should turn again and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Oh, I thank you for my ears, Lord. Well, verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see the things which ye see and saw them not, and to hear the things which ye hear and heard them not. Now he's explaining the parable of the sower in the next bunch here. Joe, you want to read that in verse 18?
All right. 18 all the way to 23, I believe?
Yeah, that'd be it.
Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receive it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but endureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he become unfruitful. But he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, and some 30.
Amen. Okay. Well, what y'all see in that? Let's tackle the parable of the sower first before we get into the ears and the eyes and all that kind of stuff. Okay? All right. In verse 13 and 18, verse 18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of God, of the kingdom, and understands not, the evil one comes and snatches away what he has been sown in his heart. This is he sown by the wayside. Okay, can somebody tell me who that person is? And what you got down for that particular part? Yeah, Pat.
What do you mean, who that person is? The person of the parable or the one snatching the word?
Okay, I'll tell you what I got, okay? And that way we can go from there and you can tell me what you got. that person is a person that doesn't read the word. He needs to read and reread the word and put the word of God in his heart. And then he'll understand a whole lot more of the word. And the more you read, the more you study the word of God, and the more of that you get in your heart, the more you understand. And the Lord gives understanding from the whole word itself, not just a little piece here and a little piece there. He gives understanding from the whole word. That is, when he understands not, it's because he doesn't do those things. He doesn't read the word. He doesn't get in the word. He doesn't understand the word because he doesn't read it and understand it and meditate on it. That's the person I'm talking about. Now, if somebody else got something else on this, that's fine. You know, the other aspects of it, there's a lot there. Go ahead, Pat.
Well, the thing that hit me when I read it is the principle, kind of the principle behind it. This person, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, if you put it back into a person prior to being born again, in other words, being evangelized or somebody talking to him for the first time about the word, I don't think he has a lot of time to think about other parts of Scripture. A new person just being introduced would be, I think, lacking that additional fuller Word of God to kind of give him understanding. But I think what I was thinking is that if that person that you're talking to doesn't understand, if it doesn't go through the what Jesus meant by the particular words that he's speaking related to that person's condition or situation, if he doesn't understand what Jesus meant by those words, then it doesn't sink down. It doesn't get in there. It only hits the surface, and it only wraps around here in the head and doesn't take it down, doesn't go down, and it doesn't penetrate down into the heart. And so it's very easy for the devil to come and snatch that away from you, or snatch it away. And I guess in the long term, or after a person's been a Christian for a while, this principle still applies to a certain degree. If you just skim over the word, that particular word, you see something, but you just skim over it and keep on moving. You don't really take time to sit down and chew on it and think about the ramifications of what he's saying and point it into your heart and look into your heart and say, where is that in conflict in my life? And go through those processes. If you don't take time to do that, then the devil can get you off on something else and snatch it out of your mind and out of your life, so that it doesn't really take root and create an effect in your life. So I guess that's the understanding part, I think, to me, is being able to connect with what Jesus really meant by those words. So that's all I'm thinking.
Amen. Well, I think we said the same thing. You just said it a whole lot more eloquently than I did, which is good.
Anybody that wasn't eloquent. That was just one word.
Oh, that's a lot better. Yeah, I believe that. I believe that if you don't study and meditate on the word, that, you know, it can be stolen from you. You know yourself, when you don't get in the word, even now, you know, us some of y'all here have been in the Word for many years. If you don't get in the Word for a day or two, you know, you see yourself slipping. Or I do myself. And that's why it's imperative that you stay in the Word. Okay, anybody else on that first parable? If somebody got something different, I'd like to hear a different, revelation in that particular part of the parable. Yeah, George.
Just something that reading through it. I took all of these as different ways of listening and being careful to listen and how we value the Word.
Can you hear me good? Can you hear me? Yeah, I can hear you. Yeah.
Just too looking good. At what happened with the sower went forth to sow, and it fell by the wayside, and it made me think that if we walk in the way, we won't be in the wayside. But, I mean, that's just a errant thought there, but I'm talking about how it was trodden underfoot and the birds of the heaven devoured it. It made me think that, you know, we're warned not to throw our pearls before swine or it'll be trodden under. If our salt loses its saltiness, it'll it's no good but to be trodden underfoot. And then kind of mark crowd as people that don't value the Word. You'll be giving it to them, or the sower's giving the Word to a people that don't value it, so they're barely plugged in, and they may have demonic strongholds, maybe generational curses or something that is making it easy for those birds to come and take that Word away because they're not getting deep enough to get free, so they can't pay attention. So that was just some of the little pictures that I get out of some of
this. Amen. Okay. Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, with all of the different groups, it basically has to do with how the soil was prepared. The wayside would be like the pathways between the fields, and the ground would be packed down because that's where all the traffic is, the animals, traffic. So the seed would be sitting right on top of the soil, accessible to the birds or the devil, however you want, or both. And the rocky ground hadn't been prepared, and the thorns hadn't been properly prepared, but the good soil had been prepared. So a lot of, the whole parable has to do with how our soil, or where we're going to put the seed, how the seed bed has been prepared as to what the result is going to be in the end.
Well, how is that, wait a minute, how is that soil prepared?
By studying the Word of God, by listening to God, by believing God.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, Dave, go ahead.
I was listening to this today on one of David's teachings. I can't remember the top of my head what it is. I'll find it later. But he was going over Psalm 119. And Psalm 119, 12 says, "Blessed are you, Lord, teach me your statutes." So when he's going through this, it's basically he's acknowledging and to the Lord and to himself that he needs the Lord to help him get through this. He needs the Lord's blessing, and he's asking the Lord to help him understand the Word. So somebody naturally takes the Bible or hears it the first time. If they're not going to, they have to almost go into a spiritual warfare mode sometimes, and thankfulness and prayer and understanding the Word of God is alive and is active. And they got to be taught this too. We all have to be taught this, that in order to receive it, you have to go to the Lord sometimes and ask him for his his blessing, his grace, in order to receive this thing, to open your heart and open your mind to understand it, because you're going to do it on your own. It's almost, you're not relying on the Lord. You're relying on yourself, your own man to do it. And Jesus came down to help us with these things. And if we're not relying upon him to get through this spiritual life, we're not going to grab hold of it and obtain it. And the word is just as much as that, as trying to learn it, as understanding what Christianity is. Is you have to ask for that help to understand it and get in what he's trying to tell you.
Amen. You know, we had a guy that he had cataracts in his eyes, and he couldn't see to read at all. And you know what he did? I think David got him a Bible on audio, one of those things, you know, where you could put it in your pocket and put the earplugs in and listen to the word. And he did that. He listened to that thing constantly. And when I first came here, I knew that he had trouble with memorizing the word, where certain verses were, or even the verses themselves. But after he got to using that thing, I'm telling you what, he was something else. That's Kurt. He could remember because he was listening to the word all the time, listening to the word. And he's going to the Old Testament. He said, "Isn't that where old so-and-so did this?" And yep, that's it, Kurt. That's it. Well, praise God, you know. And he understood the word by listening to the word all the time. And that's what we have to do. We have to get in the word all the time, whether you have to listen to it or read it or both. That's the best way to do it, is read it while you're listening to it. That's another good way. David likes to say, well, don't read the word like a hog and eat it all at one time, you know, real fast. He says, just meditate on it. And that's what we do. We just meditate on those words that are stickler, you know, where you stop and say, what in the world does that mean? And you ask the Lord, and he'll reveal it to you. All right. Anybody else on that first part of that parable? The Wayside Boys. Okay. And then we have verse 20. And he's sown upon the rocky places. This is who hears the word and straightway with joy receives it, yet has no root in himself, but endures for a while. When tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, straightway he stumbles. What does that mean? Who is that person? Hey, go ahead, Tim.
Well, that's a person that, you know, once you've heard the word and doesn't do anything with it, they don't spend the time in the word. They've heard it, it's great news, yeah, good, but they got to continue with whatever they've got going on in their busy life, and they don't take the time to establish a relationship with the Lord. And then it doesn't mean a lot to them. It just, you know, like David likes to say, fire insurance kind of thing. Kind of what I get out of it.
Amen. They want to go so far, and then they don't want to go any further because it hurts their flesh. That's what I'm thinking at. What I've got down said, this person seems to me has more of a fear of man than of God. He might have rejection spirits that can't handle criticism of any kind. We're talking about the tribulation and all of that stuff, you know. Rather than go on with God, get deliverance and be free, they end up rejecting the word. And I've seen it happen in a lot of people. They just go so far because that rejection spirit won't allow them to go any further when tribulation hits them. Yeah, go ahead, Julie. They can't take correction. I'll just put it that way a lot of times.
One of the thoughts that came to me one time when I was reading is that it had no root in himself. And what came to my mind was the root of Jesse, which is, you know, it's the Lord. It's the Word. It has no root. And again, it's the soil, but it's, said he received it immediately with joy and endured for a little while, but then when the tribulation or persecution arose, he fell away. The Word in us has to be tried, and God doesn't give us more than we're able to endure. So, you know, he knows how much Word is in somebody, and they fall away because there's no root there. They haven't given it root, or they haven't spent time cultivating their soil or getting rooted and grounded and meditating on the Word, spending time with the Lord. They're not doing that. Now that's kind of what came to my mind about the root having no root in himself. The root is, you know, Jesus is the vine. You know, he's the one that's planted. It's the root of Jesse. That's what came to my mind when I saw that one day. Anyhow, I just want to share that.
Okay. Yeah, Dave. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. Thank you very much.
Praise God.
I feel a lot better. I also see in this, I see this as the Christians that are in an apostate Christianity, and they don't necessarily have all the truth. And so when you face and give them some truth that they're not ready to see that goes against what they've been taught, you see them stumble. They stumble over that. And because now they have to make a decision. What I've been taught is wrong, and what he's saying is right, or I don't want to receive what he's saying because it goes against what I believe, and that means there's something wrong with the way I'm perceiving the Word, and there's no root there. It's very unstable. And you want to shake somebody, just tell them something that what they're believing is wrong and show them in the Scripture, or start explaining things in the Scripture, and you make them stumble very quickly. And immediately they want to get away from you, or they're not comfortable with you, or they're angry or whatever it is, but they're going to get, it's nothing. At that point, you've shaken their world a little bit. And they don't have any root in themselves because now you've just taken away what they thought was true and you just uprooted it, essentially. And that root didn't hold on to the truth, what they thought was truth, because now they're seeing something else that's contrary to what they've been taught. So it makes it very unstable for the apostate Christian, especially if they start hearing truths that go against what they've been taught. Or see things they thought they had the right, they were on the right path, and realize, wait a minute, this isn't the right path, maybe. And they're not sure what to do with that. So they have to make a decision. Do I continue with this and hold on to what I think is true and it might not be? Or do I start forsaking all this? It means I got to give up this religion, this association with this group I'm with, and just start questioning what they're teaching me. It's a very tough place for those people to come to that terms, if they're not ready for that, or if the Lord hasn't prepared them. And for me personally, I just started having the doubts in my head about what I was being taught, and questioning things and looking things over with a little more of a scrutinizing eye, and starting to realize, hey, there's something wrong here. You know, the Lord was opening my mind and opening my heart to the truth and seeing things. And it's a very difficult place to be if you don't want to leave that, but at the same time, you want to be obedient to God. And obedience to the Lord, you start to let these roots that they put in be uprooted so you can start finding better roots in the Word, the truth. But there's people in apostasy that don't want to do that. And this makes them very unstable.
Amen. Yeah, Andrew, go ahead, brother.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I just finished studying Ephesians, and we all know the root that's in chapter 3 there, 17, that Christ dwell in your hearts through faith and love, rooted and grounded. So you need that faith and love. Faith that worketh love. And I just noted that this rooted is what this person lacked to get away from the tribulation and the persecution. You know, it almost makes it sound like in a future time, when a tribulation does come, these people are going to cave. And of course, the next one, those people who have all these riches and the cares of the age, they're going to cave in something too. So another thing that came up was these are talking about four different lands here. And you're not supposed to go beyond the ancient landmarks, as it says in Proverbs. I don't know, maybe chapter 17, I can't remember. But these landmarks are, there's no trespassing there. There's a no trespassing sign. And you know what a trespass is. It's in the Lord's Prayer. Some say, lead us not to trespass against you. So this trespass is going into that different land and behaving like that person in that land, and not allowing for the fruit of God or even the glory of God to bear fruit in you. So you really need that goodness and righteousness and the truth to have that light to bear the fruit and in you. It's just, I'm right in these books right now, and that's on the next page there. I think it's in chapter 5, talking about the fruit of the light. So it's kind of neat. Anyway. None of them had any fruit in their land. You got to bear this fruit. God sends his light down to you. It's in the form of spirit and life, and it goes into you through this word. And it has to be maintained, too. And, it's something that is a daily battle. And you try to overcome something, and sometimes it could be years, you know, and you still are fighting that. And, like the woman with the issue of the blood, and the woman in Jesus's day that was hunched over for 14 years, you know, and just met with Jesus once, and it was taken away. You know, we don't need necessarily to meet with Jesus because we have Jesus. But, you know, sometimes we're there, why isn't this not going? You know? Am I unforgiving somewhere? Am I missing something? You know, and you look for it. And, you know, personally, myself, I am looking for something too. And it goes and comes. And it's been going and coming for a long time. And I've even had people here pray for this item that I'm going through. And it just keeps, sometimes I go, hey, it's gone. It's gone for good. And then it just comes back. And so, whatever it is, the Lord will reveal it to me in his day and in his time. Because it has to be. Because he went to the cross for us. And he gave us new life. We need only to focus in on that. on a side note, you know, sometimes I go that the Lord is punishing me because I've done this over here, and that's why he's not giving you that thing, Andrew, that you've been waiting so long for. And then I go, well, you know, this is an argument in my head, and I know that this guy who's arguing with me doesn't really sound like the Lord, because he's telling me I have to pay you for this. I have to, you know, I get punished for being evil, or I get punished for doing something like silly once, you know, and it's because of that you're keeping me in this bondage, you know. Or is that true, that the Lord will punish you if you need something in the form of a healing? I don't think that's true. You know, why would the Lord punish you when he's trying to get you to understand love? You see, and this is some of the weird things that my little battle that I go through, you know. And I just have to cast it down, and I go, you just played the wrong cards here, mister, and I know what you're talking about, and you're gone, you know. And then he'll put a sense of fear on you, too, after that. You go, oh, no, no, no. I got the boots on that are going to tread upon the serpent and the scorpion as often as the Lord will give me the ability. And it's an eternal life. So how long is he going to give it to me for? Eternally. So, glory to God. But, you know, I do want to overcome, too, you know. You got to overcome. You got to see the end of this, you know. And it's hard sometimes on some things. But eventually it does come to fruition, you know. And why else, you know, would the Lord have called you? Unless he's capable of finishing it. Sometimes, you know, we're like those Jews. We go back into the law sometimes. You know? If he started this, he's going to finish it in us. You know?
Yeah.
We got to have faith that he's going to work all this stuff through us so we can be somebody. And I hope you know who that somebody is. Not the guy who goes to Speedy's for a muffler. That's enough for me now.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. We have to endure to the end, and that's what George posted up there. We always have to endure to the ends. Some of us have been waiting decades for healing, you know. And it's coming. It's coming. I don't know when it's coming, but it's already happened. If we just, you know, I don't understand sometimes why we don't get healed instantly. Don't understand that. It's no big deal. But I do know that I'm healed. I do know that y'all are healed, the ones that have been sick and healing for a long time. We just have to endure. I know when the man child gets here, there's going to be a lot of people healed instantly. Praise God. Man child's going to anoint the bride. The bride's going to go out, and it's going to happen. Praise God. All right. Anybody else on the rocky places? Well, hey, Barbara. All right, let's see here.
Joe's wanting to say something.
Okay, go ahead, Joe.
Let's flag you down for a minute. I was like, hello. I got booted there before Dave, you know, the second time you talked. After the first time you talked, Dave, who else said something? Because I just, my connection went bad, and I was totally booted off the call. Did anyone else say anything?
Andrew said something.
Okay. Well, yeah, I can listen to it again on the recording there. So, but I'd like to ask for prayer. You know, okay. Not to kind of get sidetracked here, but I want to, you know, George, you said something that really spoke to me there, and then, you know, I want to interject about something you said last week, Andrew, you know, that was kind of convicting to me. But George, you said, yeah, I mean, maybe, you know, speaking of the, where are we at here? Let me get to 13. Yeah, the seeds that fell by the wayside and the fowls came and devoured them up. You know, were you talking, I guess, I didn't try to remember exactly what you were saying there, George, but you were talking about the, you know, there could be like generational curses, strongholds in somebody that would keep them from, really getting in the word, I believe is what you said. Does that sound about right, George?
Yeah, it just reminded me of, I don't know, something about it. Just not valuing the word I was saying about the swine. If the word was getting trampled underfoot, then those people are not very deep. You know, they may need some stuff broken off before they can have their heart able to receive the word and tend to it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, that's I think I've, like I said before, and I think others in the past, you know, I guess there was a time where, you know, the Lord really spoke to me. There was a season of my life, and this really a couple years ago, you know, and then, you know, I kind of went back off to this little Baptist church, and it just, like, you know, I've been, well, I haven't been fighting. I know I need to kind of get back to that. I don't know if it is a stronghold or, you know, I mean, if I pick something up along the way there, you know, as I got sidetracked. And yeah, I'm not in the word like I used to be. You know, I want to be more, but it's like, yeah, I want to be deeper, because I hear some of you guys, you know, testimonies and just the wisdom and understanding you're getting. And it's just like, I want that back. You know, I want that. I don't know if this is a generational curse, you know, that's causing me to struggle. You know, there's resistance getting in the word consistently for me, and just, you know, understanding or even hearing, you know, when the Lord's trying to tell me something. You know, so it's, so yeah, that, I mean, the, what you said, Michael, about the wicked one coming, you know, that kind of sounds like me to an extent. You know, I don't get in as much as I should, you know, I don't meditate on it, really just kind of chew on it, figure out, okay, what's being said here. And so, yeah, it's easier for the, you know, the enemy to come over and just swipe it up, you know, take that seed and say, nope, that's mine, you know, because it's like, you're not in it enough. And, I mean, I want to confess that, but it's just, you know, I don't have the best attitude. Like what you said last week, Andrew, you know, what I was going to say, you were on vacation, you know, and you said you were in the word day in and day out almost. And, you know, you realized you had to go back to work, and you're like, no, I don't want to go back to work. I want to be in the word. And that was so convicting for me. I was like, I mean, I've heard others say something that, you know, to that extent, like, you know, just cherishing the word, loving the word. And I'm like, I would love to have that attitude, love to have that mindset. So I, you know, pray for me, Michael. I want to love the word as much as, you know, some of you guys do. You know, I just, okay. I mean, if it's a generational curse or whatever it is, you know, and if I have to strive to overcome it, then, you know, so be it.
Amen. Let me just say one thing before we pray.
Sure.
First thing, it's a discipline, that you discipline yourself to figure out a time of day that you can read the word, whatever time of day it is, don't make any difference, and stick with it and stay with it. And, it grows with you, Joe. It's not that it comes instantly. It's nothing that comes instantly. It's something that grows on you as you discipline yourself to read the word and study the word of God. Then that's when the love of the word starts manifesting in your life. But we also can ask the Lord to put that desire to read and study the word in our hearts, and he'll do it. And Father, I just do that for Joe right now in the name of Jesus, that you place in his heart to read and study the word of God like he's never done it before. Put that hunger in him for the word, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for opening up the revelations to him, too. That'll make him want to seek the next revelation in the next, in the next.
Yes.
Until he understands a whole lot more than he does now. And, Father, we just praise you for that. We thank you, Lord, for the work that you're doing in Joe. And we thank you for his heart, Lord, for you, Lord. And we just praise you that you are going to make a mighty man of God out of Joe because of his desire. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, Dave.
Amen.
You just muted yourself.
Yeah, I muted myself. Reminds me of Song of Solomon's 1:4, and David's read this, and it was really good. Draw me, and we will run after thee. So we're asking God to draw us too, you know, just like we prayed here. But we recognize and God recognize between us and God that he has to draw, and we have to ask for it. So if we're constantly asking for it, we know we need more. We need more. We need more. God's not going to, it's not going to fall on deaf ears. God's going to honor that. You know, he's not going to, it's like if somebody asks for it, talks about, somebody asks for an egg, he's not going to give you a scorpion. You know, so we're asking the Lord to draw us, to bring us closer, to understand the word, get us closer to him, and he's going to honor that. We just believe for that and ask for it, not just once, often. Whenever we feel like something's not right, and we got to get closer and it's not enough, we just keep asking and praying for the Lord and asking for those things. And he'll be faithful, but we also, just like asking for healing and everything else, we got to, you know, hold on to that and keep on going for that direction, not letting go.
Amen. Anybody else? Okay. Yeah, Pat, go ahead, brother.
I was, what I had written down for that verse was that yet he hath not root. And is this one received the benefits derived as a result of believing the word, but there was not a deeper desire or need that was being satisfied. This one was looking for the gift, but not a relationship with the giver. And it reminded me of the scripture in 2 Thessalonians 2:10 that said, "And with all deceit and unrighteousness for them that perish," because that's, you know, the previous verses tie that in. Obviously, I didn't go to that, but because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And what I focused on there was that it wasn't that they did not receive the truth, they did not receive the love for truth or that desire, that inner need in their life that they wanted truth, and that love for truth more than just so it's like someone that has a love for truth can be told something not good in their life. But if it is true, they're usually willing to receive it. Probably not initially, but they're willing to receive it because that inner love for truth will keep them thinking about that particular thing. And as David said in the Psalm, I don't remember what it was, I think Psalm 15, "He that sweareth," I don't remember, I'm going to misquote it, "but he that sweareth to something even to his own hurt," because there is a love for truth there, you're willing to receive, even if it hurts me, I'm willing to live by the truth as opposed to being deceived and feeling good or whatever it would be. So, and I believe that the Lord has put that root in all of us, but just like we can deaden our own consciousness, we can do the same, I think, to that root. It reminds me of when I came to the Lord, because I was listening to what Dave was saying there about that, you know, the desire and that craving. There's that more of a desire to know the Lord or know Him. And then what Michael was saying about keeping in the Word and getting more and more and more, and it builds upon itself. And I remember when I came to the Lord, that was the process that the Lord led me through, in that He put this craving in my heart to know God. And as I started reading the Word, that craving got more and more and more stronger in my life. Didn't sound like very good English there, but so it became more intense, and I would read more and more and more until that I just started combing through that Word, and I was just pouring it in, you know, 4, 5, 10, 20, 30 chapters a night or something like that. And it was just going, because there was that intense desire and drive inside. And I think that is the root that is deeper in there, that there's more of a desire to know Jesus, to know God, and to be able to be face to face with Him and to be with Him, that you're willing to take the bad with the good, so to speak, and keep on pressing towards that. So I kind of feel it, you know, that's what I wrote in there anyway, related to that.
Amen. Yep, I believe. Anybody else? Yeah, Andrew, go ahead, brother.
You know, when I was on my vacation, I did a little study on the Spirit. And there's a verse here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And it says, it's a portion of a verse. It's in number 8. And it's the Spirit of His mouth. And it says presence there at the end. Jesus shall slay with the Spirit of His mouth and bring to naught by the manifestation of His presence. You know, and I don't know why, but the Lord kind of collated that one. And he gave me another verse that I have on the wall over here, which is Luke 10, 19, and 20. And that's the one where you trample on. And I'm going, wow, this spiritual mouth is real powerful. And where is it? You know, is this is after Jesus, you know, how can His mouth speak here? You know, where, out of whose mouth is this? Who's sharing His mouth with you when you speak the Word of God? You know, and if you're going to love the Word, then you just got to go to that first verse in John chapter 1. Is who is the Word? So everybody kind of loves their father. I don't know, some people may have had a bad father. You don't get to pick your fathers, but you know, that's what just came to me right in this session here, you know, about loving the Word, loving the Father. Hallowed be Thy name, you know. Jesus' name is the Word of God, but who's higher than Jesus but God Himself? And that's why His name is hallowed. Jesus is, and His name is the Word of God, but God is the Word of God, and He's your Father. And you tend to think of Him sometimes personally like that, but you also think of them as being very high, and we're very low here. But he's nurturing us and showing us how to be, you know, with his word. And this Jesus, you know, who's supposed to live in us, because he's even given this power to the, he told them before he went to the cross. So how much more should it be for us? You know, I'm just saying this. Well, I'm not saying I'm all there with all this stuff, but I'm just going, man, this spirit of his mouth, we're supposed to have the spirit of God in us. The words that Jesus speak are spirit and life. You know, and it's the life that's coming out of the Father, and he's giving it to us. I sometimes wonder if he's going, like, what are they doing? You know, have you ever gotten one of those from your dad? No, why are you shit? I don't know, Dad. Anyways.
Yeah, Jayla, go ahead.
Just another scripture that came to my mind is as we were sitting here talking about the root. It's in Revelation 22:16. It says, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright, the morning star. He is the root. He is the root. Yes. He is the seed. He's the root. He's everything.
Amen. Anybody else? You know, when you realize, and Andrew was hitting on it, when you realize what the Word of God is, it's the Word of God. It's the things that God has given us to walk this holy walk. He's got us some. Not only that, but he's given us the tools, the weapons, to fight the battles that we come up against. And once we understand that, you know, we understand that God's sovereign, okay, but do we understand that God's sovereign? Everything that happens around us, he's ordained for one thing, and that's to mature you. And once you understand that, then you understand that you need the tools that he's given us to walk this life and to get through those circumstances that he puts you through. You can't do it. And I'm going to tell you something else. You can't rely on somebody else to help you out. You have to rely on the Lord. And if you don't know the Word of God, you're in trouble, just to put it bluntly. And so why not get in there in that toolbox that God has given us, that armory that he's given us, and get in there and learn what it says, how we are to, how we to walk, and all these things that he's given, all these promises he's given us are for one thing, and that's to mature us. I like what Andrew said a while ago. I think it was Andrew. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning. When time began, Jesus was there. All things were made, all things, not just a portion here and a little, no, all things were made through him. And without him was not anything that made that hath been made. Here's the kicker. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Praise God. That's what the Word of God is to every one of us. It's the light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness apprehended it not. Why not? Because he knew the light. He had the light. And when you got the light, you got two six-shooters on your side, you got a bazooka on your shoulder, and you got a, you know, you got every, you got a nuclear bomb carrying around with you. That's the truth. He says, I have given you all the blessings in heaven. And if he tells you, me, I've got all the blessings in heaven, bless God, when the time comes and I need them, I'm going to know that I have them, because God has given them to us as a promise. All we have to do is do those little conditions he's told us to do, and that's to have faith, and he gives us the faith. Praise God. And it's through the Word of God that we get that faith. That's the only place that you can get faith. If you need more faith, get in the Word. Amen. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Woo, glory, hallelujah. And it's, we carry it around with us in electronic versions. We carry it around with us in the written Word. We have it all around us, and yet we still have trouble getting into it and finding time. I'm kind of like Andrew. I want to have all the time that I can into it. I don't have that. I get in the Word a lot more than some of y'all do. That's because I'm retired from the secular world, but that's okay. I still have a lot of things that I have to do, don't I, Leon? but I still get in the Word. Sometimes I have to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. That's okay. Sometimes I have to, y'all know, I just leave it at that. Okay, anybody else? Yeah, George, go ahead, brother.
I looked through this in Matthew, Luke, and Mark. And Luke, it's pulls a few different little words in there here and there. And this part is talking about how it fell on the rock, and as soon as it grew, it withered away because it had no moisture. And I thought that when we get saved, we're guaranteed tribulation. And, you know, Jesus baptized with fire. We get that fire of the trials of this life. And we have that water of the Word to put out them fires and that moisture to keep them roots going right over that rock until it finds something to secure itself to. Basically, not letting that seed die. Just keep watering it and keep watering it. Don't doubt it. And just water it and water it and water it, and if you need help finding, you know, the tools to what is the specific promise to deal with this specific trial, then if you can't find it through conventional methods, lean on the brother and we'll get there. I know we fail and we stumble and everything else, but before I get off here, I looked up Lamentations 3:22 earlier. It says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. I can't do nothing but praise the Lord. I can't get down about a situation. I can't feel sorry for a Christian, because we've already won. The worst thing that a Christian can do is go be with the Lord. And if we can overcome and gain crowns to lay at his feet, run the race, and let's encourage one another. But we've got too much on our side. Like you were saying, we're locked and loaded, and we are overcoming. We're going to get there. We've even got a desire to show up for these meetings. There's something going on. So do not get discouraged. We are going to make it. We have already got this in the bag.
How does that song go? Great is thy faithfulness.
Great is thy faithfulness. Nah, I don't know the rest of it.
Any new mercies each day. Okay. I don't know what church that was.
Yeah.
So now I think I can sing it a little better.
That's well, Baptist there.
Is that Baptist?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That is okay. Lutheran, too.
Lutheran, too. Okay. Mainline denominational song.
It's a good song, though. It's
good. Yeah, it is a good song.
It's an old one.
Amen.
Yeah. Written back during the medieval times or something. I don't know. Yeah. You know, you could jazz those old songs up a little bit, make them sound halfway decent sometimes. Okay. Anybody else? I was almost some good singing there, Andrew.
Yeah, we'll give him a five.
Give him a five. Okay. Praise the Lord. Yes. Glory. Hallelujah. Okay. Now, we'll be expecting another solo for long. Okay. Okay.
Hey, anybody Michael, else?
Yes.
One thing I just been seeing in this is you think about what, you know, that we are the sowers of the seed, and we handle the word of God, and we can just throw those seeds out there and waste them, you know. And I think that the real key is the preparation. Like I think Chris said earlier, the real issue here is the preparation of the soil. If the soil's not prepared, the seed's not going to have a chance. You know, you wouldn't go in the field and just take a handful of seed and seed and scatter it all over in some lands. I mean, would you go and plant seed in a thorn bush? It's like you just wouldn't do that, or on a rocky soil. You wouldn't do that with the seed if you valued your seed. So sometimes we have to be real discerning and alert and knowing if we're going to be sowing seed, we need to be praying and preparing that soil, plowing up that fallow ground in someone's heart. Maybe sometimes you're really led, you don't speak, you know, you don't say things, maybe you don't witness to someone, but yet you can pray. And it's more important that their soil be prepared right, you know. Because if you plant the seed too deep or not deep enough, it's not going to grow right, you know. So you have to, almost every seed, when you plant them, you get the instructions, you look, and it tells you how deep to plant it. And, of course, they're telling you to prepare the soil. And so as sowers of the seed, you know, that's our as believers, you know, we have to be wise and skillful, I guess, and just being aware of that we want to plant the seed where it's going to do some good. So, hallelujah.
Amen. Well, that's true. You know, I was telling somebody this morning about Brother Nash, who worked with Charles Finney, and he would go, before he came to a town, he would go to the town a couple of weeks early and start his intercession. He was an intercessor, and he would pray, and he would pray, and he would pray, and he would pray. And one time he was up in, I believe it was Rockford, New York? What is that up there above New York City? What's the name of that town? Something with a rock in it. Anyway, it was one of those, it was a large town back then. And Brother Nash went up there and got him a room and started praying. And he would travail. Man, this guy would travail. And he'd moan and he'd groan and he'd cry and he'd moan, you know, and it just went on 24/7. And then when Finney got there, the proprietor of the place said, "I don't know what's wrong with that man." Said he's crying, and he said, "Oh, that's just Brother Nash. He's interceding for this town." And you know what happened? They had a revival there when Finney started preaching. There was over 100,000 people that were saved in that particular crusade that he had there. And they went back years later to check to see how many were still saved, and over 75% of them were still saved. That's praying for the people in it. And Denny's right. We have to prepare the word by praying. If you're out there as an evangelist, you have to prepare the word. Yeah, Malcolm.
Yeah, I was just going to say that one time, and you're aware of this too, but it's so Father Nash is quite the figure in those revivals. Mm-hmm. And one time, apparently he didn't always show up in the meetings when Charles Finney came to town. He was still kept praying and kept out of sight. But one time he saw Father Nash somewhere in the congregation, I think near the back, and it just boosted his spirit so much. This is Charles Finney. While he was speaking, he saw Father Nash back there, and he was very, very, very much encouraged. So.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw that, what I posted. I got that tonight. Today, actually, Psalm 126:6, he says, "He who goes out weeping, carrying seed for sowing, will certainly come again with joy, carrying his sheaves." So, Lord just kind of slipped that in there before I came on.
Okay. Do you have some more, Malcolm? Go ahead, bro. You're muted. Yeah, now go ahead.
Oh, I didn't have anything else to say.
Oh, okay.
I was struggling with my star six thing over and over. I couldn't. I didn't hear any response, so.
All right, buddy.
I got another verse, Michael.
Go ahead, man.
Yeah, in Matthew chapter 4, I'm sorry, in Mark chapter 4, 26, says Jesus went on to say, "The kingdom of God is like this. A man scatters seed in the field, his field. He sleeps at night and is up and about during the day, and all the while the seeds are sprouting and growing, yet he does not know how it happens. The soil itself makes the plants grow and bear fruit. First the tender stalk appears, then the head, and finally the full head of grain. So when the grain is ripe, then the man starts and he cuts it down with a sickle, for the harvest time is ready." But he mentioned how important the soil is there. Yes. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. We're on this one. Okay, well, the last two we'll go over next. What is today? Tuesday? Today, Tuesday? Yeah, Tuesday. We're about out of time here. We'll go over the next two Thursday night. And, you know, we might look at the other two books that have those parables in there. There's some more in there, just like somebody was pointing out earlier. It has some more stuff in it. And once we get the whole picture here, we might see something else. I saw something out of that Mark one there that I hadn't seen before, too. I didn't go into Mark. I just went into Matthew. Lazy. That's what it did. That's lazy. Anyway, we'll go over it again Thursday night. Anybody got anything they need to pray about before we close out tonight? Yeah, Joe, go ahead, brother.
Add grace to finish this fast. I know. I mean, it's, you know, just like you said, Leon, the demons were tormenting you. Come on, you know, you want something there. They've been, that's why I fell, you know, the flesh or the demons, they're getting at me. So pray that I can endure these. Friday, I guess, is my last day, you know, since Wednesday I started. I heard it Tuesday night and Wednesday I started, so Friday will be my last day. So pray I could, you know, be faithful and just obedient to what I need to do. I'm not 100% sure what I should be doing, but what I know, you know, help me to be obedient, you know.
Amen. So, we're praying for holiness. We're praying for holiness. We're also praying for the factious to be scattered. Not only in around us, but out in the world too, out in our nation. My Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we lift up Joe to you, and we thank you, Lord, that you're going to place it in him to endure to the end. That he's got all kinds of vegetables out there he could be eating, and there's different ways to make taters. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. We ask, Lord, that you be with us. Protect us. Give us a good night's sleep every night that we need him, Lord, and give us visions and dreams of the things to come. And show us, Lord, the warnings that we need to have. And I praise you for it. Lord, we're still looking for the man child's anointing. Lord, we're looking for that in a mighty way, and we thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, that it's going to happen soon. And we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good night, saints. We'll see you Thursday night. Amen.
Good night, everybody.
Love y'all.
God bless.